for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, Otis, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can. We're playing along with a serial killer with the 2008 horror gem, Otis. What says you, Hillary?
I love this movie, and I am really sad that I don't think anybody has seen it besides you and I.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I know no one who knows of this movie. I swear to you. I was very shocked that my boyfriend had actually seen it. I thought that was pretty cool. But I love the fact that we couldn't find it streaming, but it's funny that you and I both own actual DVD copies of this movie.
Yeah, for like the purge of movies that like I just got rid of once like streaming came around, which I now regret. So I hear the universal groan from the audience.
I was going to say you single-handedly gotten rid of your physical media to appease the overlords that are the streaming services.
Yeah, no, I got tired of moving it because I move so fucking much that I was just like, this got to go. And out of everything that I wound up keeping, Otis was like never even a contender to get rid of.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah, no, yeah, absolutely not.
Like once you've seen it, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is so funny about things that are not funny.
Yeah, it's probably the only satire about torture porn and a pedophile serial killer.
Yeah, a pedophile serial killer who kidnaps young girls, keeps them chained up in the basement, that he's going to rape and dismember them, and it is fucking funny.
Yeah, it is absolutely hilarious. I mean, I know, this is horrible. It's almost like... It's like, what are you guys going to do next? Megan is missing? Like, wah, wah. But no, this movie is actually really, really, really awesome. So, okay, let's just talk about how badass this soundtrack is.
Oh, amazing. The soundtrack is killer and really sets the mood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the movie opens with this very strange... like a girl's room, almost like a teenage girl's room, but like a teenage girl's room that time forgot.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll give you that. And the lighting is wild.
It's like a giant Easy Bake Oven.
Yes. Lights everywhere and a really old, like, not a rotary phone, but...
like a princess phone.
Yeah. And, you know, she is... definitely seen some better days.
Yeah, she's pretty rough. She's pretty rough. Like, she's been roughed up. She's wearing a cheerleading outfit in the opening. Yeah. And we open with a Shocking Blues version of Venus, which is actually the original version of Venus. So sorry, Bananarama fans. But just hearing that song, and she's basically a captive cheerleader locked in a basement, and a really weird dude is calling her on the phone and telling her, don't bite your nails.
Yeah, he's clearly watching her and just asking about the prom that they're going to, and did you pick out a dress? And like the camera pans over and it's just, you know, this pale pink heart cut dress, and she's just like, you know, fuck you, pretty much, like, I'm not playing.
Yeah, she's done playing. She's done playing along, really. She's pissed off. So she starts wrapping the chain around her neck like she's going to kill herself. And she takes the lotion. She takes the lotion and she smears it all over his security cameras, which he can operate from a undisclosed location somewhere in the house. But first of all, okay, how does one acquire a murder basement?
I think you make it.
I mean,
with first off, with God, all things are possible. So, and with enough time and dedication, you build it and they will come.
It's kind of- kind of amazing though in there, because it's like, Sid, it's a giant Easy Bake Oven. There's lights everywhere. There's an electrified fence. There's a bathtub, a bed, and a toilet.
I remember like a little nightstand and a toilet and the bathtub. And yeah, the electrified, you know, window wall fence thing, and then just light bulbs that he turns on to, you know, burn her really into compliance.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so she decides she's gonna take her chain that she's been chained with, and she's gonna use it to attack Otis.
Yeah, I loved that. I just loved that she was just like, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, I'm done with these shenanigans.
And she swings it like a lasso.
Yeah, and really goes full Wonder Woman. And this is always my complaint with every horror movie almost ever, is once you make that first hit, you can't stop. Like, she hits him once and she gets him good, and I'm just like, and keep going. And she goes to like start swinging it again, and I'm like, no, I mean, once he started stumbling, you needed to wrap that around his neck and like really go for it. And that's always my problem in horror movies, is that there's no follow through.
Not enough overkill.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Just not enough overkill from our final girls. So so she trips and accidentally ends up putting, it's a lamp. She accidentally ends up falling into a bathtub, and then a lamp falls on her and she electrocutes herself.
Yep. And Otis is sad.
Yeah.
His date for the prom just died in her bathtub.
That's right. He's very, very sad. So in true serial killer fashion, he hacks her up, puts her into garbage bags, and goes upon his merry way.
Yes. We promise you guys, though, this is a comedy.
Yeah, I know it sounds like it's not. I know you're like, wow, you guys are really sick to be laughing at this. But trust me, it is. This is a satire of the torture porn genre that was so prevalent in like the early to mid aughts, and you know, thanks Eli. And this is kind of where this kind of took it and like turned it on its ear, you know. So next thing we see a family, a very like sitcom-ish family, just doing their thing, man. You got Ileana Douglas as Kate. She is a nurse. Daniel Stern is Will. I'm not really sure what he does.
He's
for
a housing inspector.
Oh, he's a housing inspector. Is that what he does? Okay.
Because he's complaining about how his permits were failed because the homeowner's name was spelled incorrectly, but like, why won't you cut me a break? And she's like, you know, don't you ever just want to like tell people off? And he goes, anger is something you manage, Kate.
Which makes me wonder exactly how the fuck they got into a relationship. But hey, yin and yang.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they get together. Every guy that is not, you know, dealing with his anger definitely has usually about a 5 foot tall psychopath on his arm. Ask me how I know.
Right. She speaks from experience, my friends. And then she has a weird brother. There's a weird son in this situation, a weird brother who spies on his sister with a camera, played by Jared Kuznets, and his name is Reed, and his gorgeous sister is Riley, played by Ashley Johnson. Okay, so Ashley Johnson was the thing that was trying to save Growing Pains. Okay, so when Growing Pains was going through an issue where the ratings were shit, they decided to make Joanna Kearns pregnant.
Yeah.
And she had a baby, and that baby grew up ish to be Ashley Johnson with the fucking crazy like kinky hair curls and shit, and
looks identical.
Yeah,
once you told me who she was, you know, I was just like, man, you know, she kind of looks familiar, and you were just like, yeah, that's, you know, the little girl from Growing Pains. And I was like, the little girl? And you were like, yeah, once it got bad. And I'm like, oh, like, yeah.
We had Leonardo DiCaprio came in for no apparent reason because he was like a homeless kid. And then they fucking had a kid. And it was like, yeah, there, show me that smile. You know, okay. So they go downstairs because they're just basically having like a family conversation. And Riley's like, you know, my brother is a sick fuck because he's videotaping me
in my room.
In my underwear in my room.
To put on the internet.
And, you know, like I said, now granted, think about this, guys. This is 2008. So this is a different time. And these were, you know, there were websites out there that were very, like, Voyeur Dorm was very big. And
Upskirt.
Oh, Christ on a cracker. Yeah. So they're chastising the son. They're like, look, like, you cannot be videotaping your sister. What the fuck is wrong with you? And he's like, well, she was dancing around in her underwear. And Ilana Douglas has this great line, which is like, if whatever she was doing it in the privacy of her own bedroom.
I love the line of like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Reed? That's not a rhetorical question. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's so great. It's so fantastic. So it's almost like it's kind of funny because it's almost like building Reed up to be a serial killer.
Yeah, it definitely seems like we're going, you know, what's wrong with Kevin? Found mom, that sort of thing of like, our something is wrong with our son.
Exactly. We need to talk about Kevin.
That's it. Yeah. We need to talk about Kevin.
What's wrong with Kevin?
That's the
what the fuck did Kevin do now?
Yeah, that's the bootleg copy. Yes.
Great value. What's going on with Kevin? Anyway, so this weird pizza guy comes to the door and they say, what's the price of the pizza? And he says,
1984,
which is clearly the year that Otis is stuck in. And she gets, so the daughter, Ashley Johnson, goes downstairs to pay him, and she doesn't have anything to give him, so she gives him like a $5 or something like that.
No, she gives him a $20 for the pizza. Dad gave her a $20, and then she's like, I have nothing for a tip. And then she starts reaching in her, you know, jeans that are like the low rise jeans, and you see the pelvic bones, and he is sweating and drooling looking at her. She pulls out a single dollar and she's like, just the tip, and gives him a $1, which he then walks away and licks.
Yes, he licks the dollar.
Licks the tip.
Yes. So this is, oh my God. So yeah, he's a creepy dude, right? So the next day, they're actually having a conversation about how Riley doesn't want to wear a bra to school. Like, she's wearing this bra, and her mother says, look, and she says, the underwire is bothering me. And she's like, well, look, just wear the bra to school. After school, I'll take you shopping. We'll get a bra that's not so uncomfortable. And Otis ends up kidnapping her in broad fucking daylight in the middle of a neighborhood.
In front of her house with her brother, maybe 15 feet. Now, you know, headphones on, he's on his skateboard, he's on his way to school. But yeah, brother is maybe 15 feet away. She can see her front door, and Otis just like picks her up and manhandles her and, you know, punches her in the face, knocks her out, and throws her in the trunk, drives off. And as he is slowly driving off, you just see the parents walk out, ready to go to work for the day. Nothing is awry in their world right now.
Exactly. It's really eerie. And you know, like, when you really like kind of think about it, if you took the comedy away from this, this would be a very serious, almost like made for TV movie about serial killers and how their killings affect a family, basically how a family gets torn apart. Right. So she wakes up in the murder basement,
and he calls her on, you know, obviously we're trying to get out. Help me, all the normal things that girls do. And he calls on the princess phone and starts calling her Kim.
That's right. He says, Kim, just play along. And there's a phone, you know, he basically says, you know, he's calling her Kim, and he's saying, you know, hi, Kim. And that's, you know, she's like, no, my name is Riley. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. My name is not Kim. It's Riley. And he's just like, nope, your name is Kim.
Yeah. And just like, play along, Kim. And, you know, she tries to hang up and he's calling her back and then starts burning her with the lights.
Exactly. The giant easy bake oven is, yeah, he's got it on, and he is just fucking burning her with it. Yeah.
So then she runs over to the electrified window, and he starts chuckling of like, I wouldn't do that. And she grabs it and then goes flying across the room.
Yeah.
And that's end scene.
His plan basically is to Stockholm syndrome her into falling in love with him.
Yes, definitely. He has a vision of how this is supposed to go, because I once he started calling her Kim as well, I went, oh, he did call the other girl Kim. But, you know, like when the movie started, her name could be Kim.
Right, I totally thought that chick's name was Kim.
Right.
Yeah.
And now that, like, this one is, I said, oh, okay, this is a very specific role-playing fantasy that we need to play out in order for me to survive. Check, I understand what Otis got going on.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really cool about this movie that's very different, is that we get a really sweet-ass final girl. I love Riley. I think she's smart. I think she really understands exactly what she's dealing with and exactly what she needs to do to get out of this situation. And I love that, because you don't usually see that. You don't really... You see, like, the final girl, like, the fight back kind of shit, but you don't ever see someone who goes, okay, I'm locked in a fucking murder basement. Like, if hopefully Uncle Touchy doesn't come down here, but if he does, I'm going to have to figure out a way to parlay my sexuality into survival.
Yeah. How am I going to survive this the best way? Because the end game is, I need to get away. You're bigger than me. You're stronger than me. You have a fucking murder basement. I'm chained to the floor. You need to like me, and you need to believe that I like you.
And here's the thing about Ashley Johnson, is that she's only about 5'5". She's a really tiny, tiny girl. She's super adorable. She's got this kind of like nasally, you know, girly type voice or whatever. But she's also very endearing. Like, she's not like whiny like a lot of other girls I see in these movies. But Otis, just for context sake, Otis is damn near 300 pounds.
300 pounds. I think at later on you find out when they get a description, he's like 6'4", 300 pounds, just huge, massive fucking man. And yeah, she's probably 5'5", maybe a buck two.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Maybe.
She weighs as much as my thigh. and that's okay. And so the next thing we see is something that we've seen in a lot of like serial killer movies and these types of things, especially at this time period, is where the parents have finally figured out that she's missing. So they call the cops. The cops have come. They've set up camp basically at the house. And we meet Agent Hotchkiss, Jerry Burns. And I swear to God, man, I wish this guy was in every fucking movie. I love him so much. I loved him in Greedy. I loved him on Justified. I loved him on Dear John, a theme song of which has been stuck in my head, whether I like it or not. He's just a really fucking great actor. And in this, he plays this like over the top, like almost David Caruso-esque cop character who... Basically, yeah, he's the smartest guy in the room when it comes to serial killer profiling.
Yeah, the David Caruso, like, fucking nailed it with CSI with the gum chewing.
Oh, the gum chewing!
Every scene, he, you know, has definitely, like, two chiclets that he's smacking on as loud as possible. And he's just says, I've got an 80% recovery rate. And the parents are like, oh, 80%, that's good. And then his, like, partner is just... Well, it was 60% for Debbie Prittler. You know, we never found her legs. And he goes, ah, yeah, beautiful legs, track star. Yeah,
amazing. Just, I mean, if you like gallows humor, like myself and Hillary do, as well as most of our friends, I mean, this is really a movie that's up your alley. You know, this is a... What's funny is this is a direct-to-DVD film. This was not released in the theater. This had almost no money behind it whatsoever. And it's still, I feel like it should have a cult following.
I definitely feel like this should, especially with the cast. I mean, like, I knew who some of these people were the second they were on screen, which for me is bananas. You know what I mean? Like, the second Ileana Douglas is on the screen, and I was just like, holy shit, that's Ileana Douglas. Like, I know who you are. And to me, this is almost goes in like the Fido character, like category for me, where it has name people in it and it's fucking great. And nobody knows about
this. And nobody fucking knows about this movie. Yeah, it's amazing. And he even says, like, he's like, yeah, this nut job is completely unzipped.
Yeah. Yes. And I love it when Reed, the brother, comes in, sees the cops in the house, and is trying to, like, look in the mirror because he knows he's stoned, for sure.
And he totally thinks that the cops are there for him. So yes. He's like, it's a bag of oregano.
Yeah. And the one cop looks at him and goes, oregano, huh? You got a drug problem? And he goes, yeah, I do. The good ones are hard to find.
Yeah, buddy. So good. Meanwhile, back in the murder basement. Oh my God. So Otis is dressed up like a football star in like a Friday Night Lights fantasy.
Yeah, Friday Night's fantasy. And now she is in the cheerleader uniform that other Kim never made it past the cheerleader. You know, you show up in your clothes and you get the cheerleader uniform, and eventually you're gonna have to get in the prom dress.
Yeah, that's really Otis's whole like stage show.
Yeah. And you know, it's very Friday Night Lights, where he's gonna be the big football star, you are captain of the cheerleading team, and he makes the statement.
Oh God, here it comes.
Of, I, you know, I, he asks if she'll be his steady girlfriend, and she says, yeah, sure will. And he goes, yeah, I thought so. I saw when you were cheering me on and you did that little jump. I could see your cooch.
I could see your cooch. Of which my boyfriend then responded, I'm going to start calling it a cooch. And I was like, I'm going to set you on fire.
Yeah, no, don't do that. And, then, yeah, asks to see, yeah, like, she has figured out, I gotta play along. And, you know, she's wearing the thing, yes, I'm gonna be the steady girlfriend. And then he asks her to do the cheer.
Oh, yes, the cheer. Otis, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can.
You said that with way too much enthusiasm.
In comparison, because she is so not. She's like, on Quaaludes when she says
it. Yeah. And that's when I went, come on, man, you're smarter than this. Like, if I am surviving, oh, we're trying to do a split. You know, be aggressive, be aggressive. Like, we're doing.
Give me an O!
Right. We're doing the whole thing. We're trying to spell your name with my legs.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Cooch out. Let's
that's
do
right.
it. Yeah.
That's right. Well, then there is an alarm that goes off and we realize that something has happened, because she tells him, she's like, no, it's okay. Somebody, and he's like, no. And he puts her back, you know, chains her up and puts her back in the basement. And it turns out his brother has come to visit him. And
like Kevin Pollak,
who I have had a fucking crush on since the early 80s when he did a movie called Million Dollar Mystery, and I love all of his impressions. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I love his stand-up. I loved him in Usual Suspects. Oh my God. I mean, it's so hard to pick movies, but like, loved him in Usual Suspects. My mom loves him in Grumpy Old Men. He's just I fucking love him in Miami Rhapsody. He's just a really, really great actor. And when they called him to do this movie, they basically said, how would you like to be tortured by Ileana Douglas and Daniel Stern for no money? And he said, who wouldn't?
Yeah. And like, that's what kills me. But like, it is such a great movie with real people. This isn't, you know, bargain bin, you know, torture porn that, hey, we're going to try to make funny. This was so well fucking done. So anybody who hasn't seen this movie, seriously, go watch it.
Yeah, just find it, man. Like, if you can't find it streaming, buy the DVD. It's not that expensive.
No, I think I spent $5.99.
Yeah. I think mine.
At an Asylum smoke shop.
Yeah. See, I think mine was probably like $10 or something like that. Yeah. So Kevin Pollak plays his brother Elmo. Mm-hmm. And Elmo is basically a security guard and is incredibly abusive to his brother Otis.
I'm going to counterpoint that.
But he knows something.
Yeah, like, so his brother is 40, has now trashed the parents. Parents are dead, and the house is trashed. You live here rent-free. You deliver pizzas. You're 40 years old. And you were caught licking my wife, whose name is Kim, licking her panties like a fucking dog. Yeah, no, you get slapped in the head every so often.
Yeah.
He still comes to see him.
Yes, he still comes to see him and bring him groceries. But for the most part, yes, he hates him. He pretty much treats him like I would assume all brothers of serial killers would treat them.
Yeah, and like, yeah, you're a fucking weirdo. I just got you the pizza delivery job from a friend of mine, and he's saying you're fucking that up. Like, we can't keep doing this. But he keeps showing up as his brother. And it's, you don't clean up the house. You're not mowing the fucking yard. What are you doing here?
Pizza and Fruit Loops, baby.
Yeah, that's it. And I, yeah, no, team Kevin Pollak.
Yeah. All right, I'm team Elmo. Team Elmo. So it turns out that Elmo was actually the football player.
Yep.
Elmo was the football star. Now, we don't really know if Kim was a cheerleader back in the day, but we do know that Otis has a fixation on Elmo's wife, who happens to be named Kim. And apparently, Otis is also stuck in 1984.
Yeah, watching probably his brother, you know, get laid, get the girls, living his best life. And Otis clearly was always a fucking weird kid. And now he's just trying to, like, live out his brother's life by kidnapping these teenage girls and dismembering them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next scene I really like is they're doing this phone call because they have to, like, keep him on the line. And the parents have to keep him on the line and talk to him while they are trying to get this signal because they're trying to trace the call. And Otis is calling the parents and saying, like, I'm here to talk about your daughter, Kim. And like, my daughter's name is not Kim. My daughter's name is Riley. And then Jerry Burns goes, yeah, need to call her Kim. Sorry about that. Forgot to tell you.
Forgot to tell you about that. And, you know, then parents start trying to, like, play along. And Otis is like, you know, she's my steady girl now, which means I'm the only one who gets to put my fingers inside of her.
And the parents are visibly just freaking the fuck out, you know. And when the thing is, like, if you really look at this, like, this is a pedophile. These are underage girls. This is not, like, these are not 20-something college girls. These are fucking teenagers. These are
teenage 20-year-olds, then it would be fine.
Yeah, it would absolutely be fine. Yeah. Just FYI.
We've met 20-year-olds. Yeah. They should be in murder basements.
Absolutely. Total murder basement. It'd take you down to Uncle Touchy's Naked Puzzle Palace. Anyway, because that's fine. And then there, I Ran by fucking Flock of Seagulls plays.
Yep, no, amazing soundtrack. I absolutely fucking love the interview with Agent Hotchness and, oh, I don't know the news reporter's name, but
we've seen her before. Her name's Tracy Scoggins. She's been in a shit ton of stuff. She's like, the B-movie Demi Moore.
Okay. Yeah, she's doing like a Nancy Grace type show. And she has, you know, the gum-chewing detective on. And just my favorite line from this interviewer, you know, he's talking about how he can get into the mind of a serial killer and all of that. And she looks at him and just says, like, well, what makes you different from the men you hunt down? And he says, well, I wear a condom. I shudder when he fucking says it, and then I laugh. Like, yeah. It hits you in the gut where it's like, you can't say it. You said the quiet part out loud. Yeah.
It's like, dude, I want to bring that way down. And so the next thing we see is Otis is actually sitting on the couch with Riley / Kim. And they are watching. This is what's really fucked up. They are watching Otis's homemade snuff movies.
Yeah, and they're just
an Otis broth joint.
An Otis broth joint, and it's his murder porn collection. and he has made theater seats, which he has filled with garden gnomes.
Yes, that's right. I forgot to add that Otis likes to steal garden gnomes from his pizza patrons' houses and front porch.
Yeah, and he has filled them in the murder basement, and they are lining all the seats of this movie theater where he is in a very, very nice sweater. He's eating popcorn. He does the yawn reach around as they're watching a snuff porno. And she's just like sitting there still in her now cheerleader uniform because it's not prom yet. And, you know, like her face is, you know, bruised. Like the blood still is trickling down. We haven't cleaned any of that up. We just got to get to prom. Like, there is no other focus, but we got to go through the motions of getting through the dates just like my brother did. And, like, her being so interchangeable and it doesn't matter who you are, this is so about him. It's so great to watch and uncomfortable and funny with the gnomes. And this is your first date movie. Like, just everything wrong and everything right.
Yeah, it's fucking, it is brilliant. It really is brilliant. It's disgustingly brilliant in a lot of ways. So we've got, so what is your, so I have a question for you, because you obviously you recognize Daniel Stern, but did you have a favorite Daniel Stern movie or a favorite movie that you've seen him in that you really liked?
I don't want to say because I'm going to say like Home Alone.
Okay, well, which a lot of people would say. I would actually say It's a cross between City Slickers and Very Bad Things.
Oh, he was great in Very Bad Things.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, I loved his character. Like, the movie of Home Alone, like, with all of the, you know, different characters and whatever and how popular it was and the Joe Pesci character, whatever. But I love Daniel Stern's character of just, like, we need a nickname. And, like, all, like, just how goofy and not a good burglar he was.
Right.
And just,
right.
I love how he plays, like, fanatic and, like, over the top without it being, like, campy and unbelievable.
Absolutely. He doesn't really eat a lot of scenery.
No, but it's so good when he, like, finally loses his shit. I totally believe you that you are losing your shit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, I remember he does it in Very Bad Things. He does it in. It's so fantastic. Which, by the way, completely underrated movie.
Yeah, no. Oh. Very Bad Things should be.
That's another one. It's prom night, and they're going to do their prom thing. You have a pristine disco ball, by the way.
Yes, the disco ball is up. He's got his tux with the ruffles.
His blue ruffle tux, yeah. Buddy.
Robin egg blue, and, you know, the same pink satin heart-shaped dress is hanging on the wall for her, and they dance.
They dance to, what's great is they actually dance to Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah. And he goes, do you know what this is? And she goes, our song? And he goes, yeah!
Right.
Yeah, like, this is
it our is song. Our song. And then they make out against her will. And I got to give her credit for this. I got to give her mad props for this because it's such an uncomfortable scene. But at the same time, you're like, you got to take one for the team with this. Is she attempts to take out a 300-pound man's tiny peepee.
Yeah, they go and they're sitting in the Trans Am, so not a whole lot of wiggle room. And he's, you know, like, kissing her on the neck. You could tell she's absolutely bored, wants to be anywhere else. And she's just like, you know, I could get him out and, you know. And he's like,
and then he starts, like, sweating profusely. Yeah.
And she is trying to deal with the 300-pound man in a Trans Am and is just like, oh, there you are, big guy.
Right.
And just like the look on her face. And then he comes.
I know. He comes with the speed of an origami instructor on crystal meth.
Yeah. And just he is now like so upset.
Yeah. He's completely horrified. And like, how many of us had to pretend like that penis was like the peaches and cream Barbie we always wanted?
Oh, peaches and cream Barbie.
Remember that one with the dress and everything?
I do.
Loved it so much. But yeah, every woman in the world has had to deal with that instance where like a guy drops his pants and we had to pretend like it was the most beautiful big penis we'd ever seen. And it was like, that's the penis I've looked for my entire life.
And why is it always when the guy that's attached to that penis always wants to say the weird things as you're doing of just like, oh yeah, take that big dick. And you're just like,
it's always the really tiny, like, right. Captain Tiny Dick that yeah. wants you to say, like, take that big dick.
Oh yeah, you're rearranging my guts, monster. Ow. And you want to be anywhere else.
Yeah. You're just like,
trying to watch Cold Case Files over his shoulder.
That's right. Yeah. Tickle my cervix again, big boy.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So he realizes, so of course he comes very quickly.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that his brother has come to visit again. Mm-hmm. And he takes her down to the basement and knocks her out and forgets to lock her up.
Yeah. Forgets to reattach the chain. And that's, I like to think that if I, maybe not now, at 46, I'd probably just be like, let me take a nap. But at like 25, 30, when I was, you know, spry and psychotic, I would like to think that I would have had the foresight to play along, because eventually you're going to fuck up, brother. You know, and then hopefully I just have enough food to keep the mental stamina of the game going.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing is right. I think is just the trying to keep the mental game going with this person who, you know, is a sick fucking pedophile, disgusting, 300-pound crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Who's stuck in 1984.
Yes. But his music taste is good.
But his music tastes are fucking mwah, chef's yeah. kiss. So this is where the bra comes full circle. She takes the underwire out of her bra and shorts out the electrified fence.
Yeah, very fucking smart. Oh my god. I would not have thought to do that. Just,
no.
Yeah.
Would
no.
Would
not have occurred to me at all.
No, I love the fact that this is actually written by a man, because I was like, good for him, man.
Yeah.
What good thinking.
Yeah, very good thinking. And she is able to get outside, you know, because the house hasn't been well kept. So, you know, there was really nothing in her way. And then as soon as she gets outside, I'm, you know, run, you like just go. And she is being very, very smart of ducking under windows, because I don't know where you are in the house. I don't know who showed up. Maybe he's in on it. Like all of those things. I just, if I were to get outside, I do fear like that adrenaline would just take off and would get me re-caught.
Yeah.
And then you might as well just murder me at that point.
Especially because she's got a chain around her. So it's right. really hard to, like, I can't even imagine, like, running in a prom dress with a chain wrapped around me.
Yeah, but she is absolutely handling it well, making really, really smart decisions, and she gets away.
She gets away, and she calls her parents. Now, before she calls her parents, Jerry Burns is actually like kind of like being antagonistic towards her parents and saying, you know, you're probably the reason that she's gonna get killed, and you just tell them that. Them who? The candle people, meaning the people who hold these candlelight vigils for these missing teenage girls.
I do love the term
the candle people.
The people who are just, you know, outside lighting candles, sending love, lights, thoughts, and prayers.
That's right. Love, light, and prayers, baby.
Yeah. They are officially the candle people now. Love it. And it's so good.
It's so fantastic. The candle people. So they, so she calls and she gets to talk to her mom. And her mom says, you know, do you remember anything? Do you know where you are? She's like, I'm at a convenience store. And he says, okay, I want you to go into the bathroom. I want you to lock the door. You do not open the door for anyone. We're going to send an ambulance. And any information you have, do not give it to anyone else. Because she asked her, she's like, do you remember who he is? She's like, yeah, his name is Otis Broth. She just says, his name is Otis Broth. He lives at 766
739 Brighton Avenue.
Oh my god, look right. at you.
Any people? No. Do I know what street Otis Broth lives at? Yep, 739 Brighton Ave.
Amazing. Amazing. So amazing. So the parents have committed this information to memory. They go and to the pick her up, try to pick her up at the hospital. And of course, she's super out of it. You know, Jerry Burns comes in and talks to her and kind of, you know, kind of asks her like, hey, were you raped or did this happen or did this happen? And then he comes out and tells the parents, yep, she was raped.
Yeah. Like the doctor is trying to talk to the parents and say, you know, she has a brain hemorrhage. We need more tests. We don't know. She could be fine or, you know, she could, you know, slip into a coma and die. We don't know. And the detective just, Agent Hotchkiss just like sits down and he goes, well, she was raped. And like the shatter of the parents of like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yep. That's that. She was raped.
So the parents are completely infuriated. Like, they're just like, oh my God, like we have to do something. We have to avenge this, right? So dad, i.e. Daniel Stern, has kind of taken a very like, well, let's just do this by the book. The cops will handle it. They'll pick him up. They know where, you know, we'll give him the address. They know where he is. They'll pick him up. Everything will be fine. He'll go into, you know,
the system.
Yeah.
The
system. Yeah. It's like, you know, oh, well, I think he wasn't even saying like the electric chair. He was just saying like, you know, life without parole.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, he'll get caught and he'll be found guilty and we'll live happily ever after. And this is kind of where Ileana Douglas really makes her daughter's now what she believes rape and kidnapping all about her. This is about mom and what mom needs to do.
Kate has some very unresolved anger issues towards both her husband and I think just like
the world
in general, because now the movie is going to take a very hard left turn.
Yeah, and we've already set it up that, you know, brother is a fucking weirdo and maybe something wrong with Kevin-esque. So Daniel Stern is really the only one in a realm of sanity, but also loves his wife just too goddamn much.
Absolutely. So one of my favorite lines in this movie is when Ileana Douglas and Daniel Stern are fighting and she looks at him and she goes, Will, you're either in the marriage or you're out of the marriage.
Yeah. We've told Riley not to tell anyone to bear the burden of now hiding this secret from the police because she hasn't been through enough. And we're going to go take care of this problem like a family should.
That's right. Grab some power tools. Yep. We're going in.
Yep. And they all just start grabbing the most random fucking murder up. I mean, like a paring knife. Like, okay, a knife, but a paring knife.
A blender, but also a crimper. What is it?
A curling iron. Yeah, just like every sort of weird fucking thing you can imagine, we're just putting in a black duffel bag and we are going to 739 Brighton Avenue.
So they get over there and they're kind of trying to like figure it out. But they did find the murder room. So they found the murder room. They are ready to pounce, you know, and torture him. And the person who comes in the door isn't Otis, but it's Elmo, his brother.
And Daniel Stern comes out with, you know, whack to the face with a shovel. And then Reed follows through with a baseball bat and just knocks him unconscious. And then he comes to tied to a chair. And there's an electric cord.
And he's bleeding. And he's just, there's just, it's so gory.
Oh my God. And Daniel Stern is trying to plug in this electric cord.
And it doesn't reach.
It does not reach the socket. And every time he pulls it, you see Kevin Bollocks. Yeah, no.
Oh my God.
We're going to leave that right in.
I'm going to piss myself. Jesus. Kevin Pollock.
Buttocks. So Kevin Pollock's buttocks.
Bollocks.
Start jerking. And he has to keep, like, inching the chair back.
Yeah.
So he can electrocute his rectum.
That's right. They have attached some sort of electrical device to his asshole, and they're electrocuting him. And all of this stuff is going on. And then they get a call from Agent Hotchkiss.
And Agent Hotchkiss says, you know, Riley told me everything. It's the pizza delivery guy, the guy who delivered pizza to your house. You know, he's 300 pounds, 6'4", monster of a guy. And they turn and look at Kevin Pollak, who's 5'6", 5'7".
5'6", 5'6".
Yeah, and just absolutely not 300 pounds. And Daniel Stern goes into his pants pocket and they pull out his license. And it's Elmo Broth, the brother. And now they have just murdered a man. He has no pulse. And they have murdered the wrong man.
And so in this like sitcom like style, they start blaming one another for these decisions.
Yeah, like that, you know, I didn't even want to be here. Like, cue Kevin Smith, Clerks. Like, I didn't even, it's not even my day. It's my day off today. I'm not even supposed to be here.
Right. Just absolutely. It's absolutely crazy. And then they decide, okay, all right, well, we obviously have to get rid of the body. We have to cut the body up, and then we have to throw it in the dumpster, which they do. But Otis, much like Prince at Paisley Park, has that whole place wired for sound.
Yes, and Agent Hotchkiss comes in and brings them all to the church in the hospital. And, you know, starts really, like, letting them sweating it out. Just, you know, yeah, there was audio. You know, the whole place is recorded. And they start going, like, what'd you see? Oh, well, it wasn't, you know, shown anywhere. But, you know, wired for sound so we could hear everything that you guys did.
And what's great about this is that while he is having this conversation, Ileana Douglas is fingering a switchblade like she is going to gut him like a fish.
And Reed pulls out like a Chinese star. Like, they are absolutely going to murder this detective in the hospital chapel.
Right.
Because that's now the only logical choice. And, you know, the agent just lets him know, I think that piece of trash got everything that he deserved. So, case closed. You killed Otis, and it's fine.
Right, and you three are some badass motherfuckers.
Yep, way to go. And so the only people that know that it wasn't Otis there are the family, and, you know, Otis knows he's not dead, but, everybody else thinks Otis is dead, so now he really would be getting away with this.
Yeah, and so they go home, and they have to reveal to Riley what they did, and that's... and Riley's just like, oh my god, I cannot believe that this happened. I can't believe you guys did this. Oh, it's important to also point out that the brother kind of looks like Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, very 2005 oh, emo kid. He had MySpace.
That haircut, sure. Bro.
Yeah, well, oh they all looked like
they
that.
All had that same hairstyle. Yeah. It was crazy. So Pete Wentz decides to arm himself and order a pizza so that he can get his revenge and they can finally kill Otis because Otis knows
where they
exactly
are.
Where they are.
Yep. So, yeah, the brother is really the only one in the solution at this point. So he calls the pizza delivery, 1984. Pizza will be there 30 minutes or less with a smile. And Otis shows up.
And they shoot him.
Yep. And the brother shoots him through the door 4 times.
End of movie. Yes. So this is so great because it really is just this, like, it's a sitcom world, part pedophile revenge fest, part satire of torture porn.
The way that I describe this movie is Last House on the Left. If you don't want to be like soul crushed and shattered and heartbroken and angry and all of those emotions, but you want to see like a torture porn good time where the parents get revenge and the girl doesn't really get raped and everybody's kind of fine except for the pedophile, and you can have some giggles along the way, that's this movie.
And a great soundtrack.
And a great soundtrack and great fashion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great fashion, great soundtrack, great acting. Like, this is a great movie. So, Tony Krantz is the director. Eric Jenderson is the screenwriter. And one of the really cool things was that The writer was on set the whole time. Like, he was fully involved in the entire making of the movie, which is not something that you hear very often. A lot of the times there's a lot of, like, writer crime where writers really are just kind of pushed away from their own movie. And they really don't have creative control and they don't have creative input. So the fact that he allowed him to really, like, be involved and be on set and whatever is just super fucking awesome. And Boston Christopher is our serial killer Otis, and he's great. He went on to do a lot of theater work. We totally recommend, if you can't stream this movie, fucking find it, buy it. It's totally worth it. It is an example of a horror comedy that is very good. It is very smart. It's very witty. It has good gore. It has good acting. And it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, if you don't like horror comedy, then this isn't for you.
This is totally not for you.
Yeah, because it's not a horror movie like that. You really need to, if you liked Gravy, this is going to be in your wheelhouse.
See? If you liked Gravy, see?
Yeah.
See? That's how it goes.
So, yeah. Shaun of the Dead-esque, you know, like that sort of comedy. Really, it focuses more on the comedy, and it's just the subject matter is horrific. And I wish more people have seen this.
Abso-fucking-lutely, man. All right, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Instagram, Manic Movie Monday Podcast, as well as our Facebook page. And we are in the middle of getting a Patreon. We know you've been asking about it, which is shocking that we have people who want Patreon, but we are working on it diligently. We promise it will be up soon. So, all right. Stay tuned next week for Hatchet, and always
stay manic.